Good morning.
Well, let's try it again. Good morning. Well, thank you, Liz. I appreciate the worship this morning. And, you know, I was looking forward to the church retreat and hearing the testimonies of what God's done in your lives. And thank you, Ryan, for giving us that opportunity. And I just didn't expect mine to happen in this setting this morning. But, you know, God sent the wind last Sunday, and we're here. Isn't God wonderful? Sometimes I feel like I am the most blessed man upon the face of the earth. And thanks, Rob, for asking me this morning to share. Does God talk to you the way I'm talking to you right now? Well, we normally don't think he does. Did you wish he did? Well, this morning, first I want to give praise to God and thank God for the absolute awesome goodness that Brenda and I have felt in these past 18 months. We just feel so absolutely blessed. And sometimes she remarks, because she's totally healthy and has absolutely no pain, and I have a few aches and pains that are bothersome at times, and we wonder why she can't work and I have to work. But, you know, we praise God anyway. It doesn't seem to make sense. And, you know, we read about Job, how he lost all his children and then God gave them back. Well, I lost Brenda for 45 days and then God slowly gave her back to me. And what a wonderful, blessed woman of God she is. And she is to me. And I'm in just wonderment over and over again every time I see how she intimately talks to you and how she intimately talks to God. Well, as a good teacher, there's always a good lesson to have a good visual aid, and I brought mine. You know, I look at the workplace for subtle ways to praise God. Well, so this past week, I received our dress down t-shirt. We get to dress down every Friday. Isn't that nice? And so, you know, I like to celebrate. So I like people to know that I'm freed and I'm praising God. Isn't that cool? Now, for some of you who don't get the significance of this, that red hymnal in there that we have in the back of our denomination has a 606, which is a song, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Some people call it the unofficial national anthem of our church. But anyway, I'm praising God, aren't you? I'd like to give you an example, since we're talking about how to better converse with God, of an intimate conversation I had to just kind of tell you what intimacy with God really is. One of the reasons I had that song played, it's a testimony of my past 18 months that you heard during offering. But it also shows the intimacy, the way those worshipers worship at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Some of you are Buckeye fans, and if you know me long enough, I am a Brooklyn Tabernacle fan. And you can't get to know me very long before you find that out. I've only been there once, 9 years ago. I went to their Tuesday night prayer meeting where I had to go at 5 o'clock to get a seat because it started at 7, and by six it was packed, and where we had 1,200 people on a prayer meeting. And of course, that's the most important part of their church, is prayer. Well, I want to tell you, none of you have done really stupid things. But to show you how intimacy can be stupid at times, I did a really stupid thing 2 weeks ago. Saturday, 2 weeks ago, was a freedom rally at the prison. And it gives us volunteers an opportunity to eat lunch with the inmates. And so, knowing more inmates than I knew of the volunteers, I was looking forward to that, and I planned to sit and eat with inmates. And, of course, I got my food, and I turned around with my tray to see where to seat. And one of the guards pointed me to a table of four that had one empty seat. And I was greatly anticipating. There was three inmates there who appeared in their 20s to 30s. And I didn't know any of them. And so all three of them quickly told me, I asked them where they're from. One was Toledo, one was Cincinnati, one was Dayton. And the one gentleman diagonally across from me, he was quite conversational, and he started talking about, you know, his 20 years that he has, and that he has done 9 or 10, and they've gone by really quickly. And so this kind of put the subject on the table, and I looked at the guy straight across from me. I said, well, how long have you been here? And he said, well, he's kind of embarrassed, a little shy. He says, well, I only have 11 months. And so he said that quite quietly because the other guy had a lot more. And then I turned to the guy on my right, and I said, and what's your out date? And I was only embarrassing to notice that he had a volunteer badge. And he was a reacher from Toledo. But he was quick and kind, and he blushed and said, I hope it's this afternoon. I've taught myself over the years that if you want to be intimate with someone, you look them in their eyes, and you very much concentrate on them and what they have to say and give them undivided attention. I'm glad no one was taking pictures or videotaping at the time. The song that you heard, I Never Lost My Praise, you can't help notice that those people are in conversation with God. Well, this morning, I am going to select some scriptures from the Bible that hopefully you can take one of them with you that really touches you to get you at a more intimate way of talking to God. But before I share those scriptures, we need to talk about who has the honor and the privilege of talking directly to God face to face. And I make some assumptions. First, I notice here at London Christian Fellowship, we don't make a big deal about who's a regular attender or who's a member, and I appreciate that. And I also assume that if someone is a regular attender or a member, that they are also a Christian. And I hope that's 100% true. And so then I need to clarify what my view is as a Christian. What is a Christian? And a Christian, of course, is someone who's a part of the family of God. So then how did someone get into God's family? Well, in today's world, just calling yourself a Christian doesn't always match with the biblical description of one who is saved and adopted or grafted into God's family. This is so important because it is more important to me here today, realizing that conversing with God can't happen without our sin condition being discussed. And on this Sunday, as with many Sundays, being a messenger teaching this morning, I may be talking to a lost person in the crowd and someone who's out of the kingdom of God. And I would be much more embarrassed to face someone at judgment who said to me, why didn't you make it clear how to join the family of God? And therefore, I'm going to give a concise summary this morning of what the Bible says. First, all humans have sinned and are thus sinners. And that's based on Romans 3:23, where it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Second, the penalty or the payment for our sin is death. And Romans 6:23, we know, and I love it, we know it from NIV, the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. But the message, the paraphrase says, work hard for sin your whole life and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus Christ, our Master. Third, our only escaping the death sentence is being born again. John 3:3 says, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And fourthly, there is only one way. John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So lastly, what does a lost person need to do? Well, Romans 10:9 and 10 And I'm going to read this from the passage because it's just so vivid and clear. The word that saves you is right here, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It is the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for you. This is the core of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God, Jesus is my master, embracing body and soul God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus Christ from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God, setting things right, and then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. So this defines who is in the family of God and able to seek a deeper conversation with God. A sinner's only one cry out to God is the cry confessing their sin, asking for forgiveness, and surrendering to God through Jesus. And this is a life commitment to the complete dependence and lordship of Jesus Christ, who puts the Holy Spirit within us to be our guide and our master. God then sees us differently. And now God sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ, clothing us. And now we can come and have this conversation with God, just like I'm talking to you this morning. I am compelled to share just what I said. Because if there is a lost person in our midst this morning, and here's the rest of my message about scriptures that the Holy Spirit may help us as Christians improve our conversation with God, it would be meaningless and futile for someone not in the family of God to think the scriptures would work. Christ must be our Lord. The Holy Spirit must be our guide. And that is the absolute best news for us this morning. If one person heard this message, either this morning or listened to it on the internet after Doris puts it on, which people do, and came to know our Lord and Savior, that would be the best celebration that would be happening. The angels would be rejoicing in heaven if someone heard that gospel message and came to know Christ. If you're not a Christian and are here today, this can be your day. I pray you make the choice to follow Jesus before you leave today. Now for the scriptures I promised, I would like us to take time and find them. So, first four are in Psalms. Now, I know there are probably multitudes of translations out there. So that's why I want you to look at yours, because I probably will give you eight of them before we're done. And maybe one of them will stick out to you as the one you want to hang on this week. So turn to Psalms. The first four are in Psalms. And I'd like you to go to Psalms 27. If you have a pencil and you want to, you know, jot the reference down and later. Keep this question in mind. How would your life change if you had a continual, intimate conversation with God? Now let's look at verse 8. Psalms 27, verse 8. Read it silently in your whatever translation you have. As I was reading these, I looked at four different translations. And I'm going to just put one up each time. But I want you to focus on yours, but I'll talk about each one just very briefly. I'm going to put up New Living. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. God's saying to David, come talk with me. Come seek my face. I'm reminded by an inmate who talked to me and one time talked about God, that many times when we're talking to God, we're really talking not to his face, but to his hand. Think for a moment. If you're asking for finances or food or housing or material things, you're talking to God's hand, not to his face. The face is a more intimate interaction where you're not necessarily asking for anything, but it's an act of awe and adoration and just intimacy. I'm afraid that most of my prayers, and maybe a lot of yours, are more like talking to the hand and not to the face. Next scripture is just a page or two ahead. Turn to Psalms 32. And I'd like you to take a moment and read verse 8. I'm going to read it from the Message. Let me give you some good advice. I'm talking to you in the eye and giving it to you straight. This is really a promise, okay? And the Message really asks you to look into God's eye. I'm also going to read it from NIV. NIV says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. God wants to do those four things: instruct, teach, counsel, and most of all, watch over you. Are you wanting that? Is your way not working? This is a promise. It might be the one that means most to you. Let's go to another one. The third one is Psalms 42. Turn ahead a page or two. I told you the first four were in Psalms. They're easy to find. This one is Psalms 42, verse 8. But before you get to 8, go up to 6, because David reads there and he tells you in 6 how his soul is. And you can go ahead and read all 6 through 8, but focus on 8. Again, I'm going to use part of the Message 6 and... When my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you. Then God promises to love me all day, sing songs all through the night. My life is God's prayer. David was in the dumps. He did what most of us do. When we're down, we review. That's what was in the middle of those verses. What we review is critical. If we asked ourselves, why me? Or poor old me, we're on that path to self-pity and bitterness. If we choose a different path of, you know, I am a chosen person of God to go down this path, then we get closer to God and closer to his face. In all that I have gone through personally over the past 2 years, there's one quote I hang on to. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to get better. And God has helped me. Praise him. The next one is Psalm 66. You got a few pages ahead. And there's 4 verses here. Remember, I said I was going to talk briefly about each one, but your focus is trying to find one that the Holy Spirit prompts you to hang on to the next couple weeks that'll help you to get a better conversation with God. Psalm 66, I'm going to give you four here, 17 to 20. Take a few moments and read 17, 18, 19, and 20. Psalm 66. I'm going to read it from the Message. All believers, come here and listen. Let me tell you what God did for me. I called out to Him with my mouth. My tongue shaped the sounds of music. If I had been cozy with evil, the Lord would never have listened. But He most surely did listen. He came on the double when He heard my prayer. Blessed be God. He didn't turn a deaf ear. He stayed with me, loyal in love. I like especially the phrase in the Message that says, if I had been cozy with evil, the Lord would never have listened. The evil one knows every one of our weaknesses, and we all have them. And we each need to ask ourselves, what love affair with sin do we have a tendency to fall back into? When we embrace it, the conversation with God stops. Is your conversation stopped? Could this be the reason? But I like the thought then that goes on to say that God comes on the double to help us if we ask. And what a wonderful comfort. God wants this conversation with us and Him much more than we do. And it brings God pleasure. We're going to have to go ahead a few books. So let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. And Isaiah 30 verse 21. Again, I'm going to read from the Message. Your teacher will be right there, local and on the job, urging you on whenever you wander left or right. This is the right road. Walk down this road. You'll scrap your expensive and fashionable God images. You'll throw them in the trash as so much garbage, saying, good riddance. This is a promise that basically, when you think about God standing behind you and telling you whether you turn to the right or whether you should turn to the left, it reminds me of a belt, and I brought it along. This is a belt that Brenda doesn't remember, but it was a belt that she got in rehab when she was learning how to walk, and it was strapped around you. And it was used to hold on. The therapist would hold on to it, and they would, I can't get it twisted right here. There we go. They would hold on to you. They would put it around you like this. I use it now to put ice on my back. I have ice in my pockets in the back, and it snaps on really good. But anyway, they would grab a hold of you and stand behind you and walk and tell you which way to go, to the right or to the left. God's got your back, and He wants to tell you which way to go, right or left. The next one is God's phone number. Does anybody know God's phone number? Jeremiah 33:3. Let's turn to it. You have to turn a book or two. No, one book. The message says, call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own. This is a cool thought because God's phone is never busy. You never get a recording. You never get a push one for this, push two for that. You always get an answer. And I praise God for that. Now I want to move to the New Testament. John. Turn ahead to John 10. Verse 27. You notice I read a lot of them from the message. Well, they kind of explain it really well. This is talking about sheep. My sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them real and eternal life. They are protected from the destroyer for good. No one can steal them out of my hand. The Father who put them under my care is so much greater than the destroyer and thief. No one could ever get them away from me, from him, excuse me. I and the Father are one heart and mind. This verse reminds me about how dumb sheep are. It has been said, and I've never seen it done, but I've read and heard that a shepherd can take his 100 sheep and hold out his rod and let the sheep, first couple, jump over his rod to get to where they're going, and then he can pull the rod away and all the rest keep jumping over the invisible air. That's how stupid they are. And in our world today, the world is telling you not to do that kind of thing. But we're reminded that we are to be like Jesus, who was led like a lamb to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. We are to be totally in obedience to what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do, like sheep. The last scripture I want you to go to is James. James 1 and verses 5 and 6. This one I'm reading from NIV. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. This final one, we get to ask for help. If you need a closer conversation with God, here is a promise that he's going to give it to you, with no doubt. If you want to be more intimate with God, go ahead and ask. And the Spirit of God will help us. I don't know which scripture stands out to you. Maybe over the next hour maybe over the next day, it may become clearer. I don't think there's any of us who don't want a deeper conversation with God. Maybe talk to God about these verses. Listen for his understanding. Maybe you'll set some time aside to deepen your two-way conversation with the Father. It may start by you asking him questions. Lord, how can I encourage my co-workers? How can I encourage the elderly? How can I encourage my new neighbor? Or maybe, how can I encourage my well-established neighbor? Maybe even, Lord, how can I encourage those who annoy me? God wants to speak to us. God wants us to listen to him. I don't know what God's perspective is, but I want to be more and more in his face. I want to go to prayer and just end with prayer. But before I end with prayer, I want to tell you that after the prayer, I'm going to play a testimony of someone who had it a whole lot worse than I did. Probably a whole lot worse than you did. I don't know of any of you who had your one parent kill your other parent. But Jasmine did. And I'm going to play her testimony. She found a relationship with God. She found that she could clearly look into God's face. She found out that she could receive instruction and teaching and counsel as God watched over her path. She clearly has God in charge of her life. And she is clearly a prayer to God. She has a new cherished love affair. God has her back. And she's not afraid to call on God. Her loyalty is exceptional. And she wasn't afraid to ask and believe. Let's pray. Father, you've put it on my heart to be more intimate with you. You desire that. And I pray that over the next days and weeks that I'm blessed with, that I'll be able to, by your Holy Spirit, accomplish a more and more deeper relationship with you. Thank you that you chose Brenda and I to go through what we went through, because we're honored to do that. And whatever we face in the future, we're going to continue to give you our total praise, because our hope is in you. We thank you and praise you for blessing this morning, and we just ask that if someone doesn't know you, this would be their day, that they call out to you and make you Lord and Master of their life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Following her testimony, Elizabeth will come in.
I never knew my father growing up. And I was raised by my grandmother, thinking it was my mom, because I didn't know any different. Well, I was at a park one day, and me and my cousin, we were playing, and I did something to make her upset. And so she just yelled out, at least I have a mother. So I ran home, and I questioned my grandmother at the time, and I found out that my father was a drug addict, and he started to beat my mother. And one night, in a drunken rage, he came home, jealous, and he proceeded to beat my mother. And one fatal blow to the head caused my mother to pass away. I hated him. I wanted him dead. What kind of man would do that? What saddened me the most was that he left her there for 3 days. Well, I started looking for love because I didn't have it from a biological mother or father. So I started getting into the party scene, going out clubbing every night. I started to hide that life with my grandmother because I looked up to her, and I didn't want her to know that I was this other person. So it was like I was leading a double life. I would go out partying and drinking, and then when I'm at home, I would be in my books studying. So one day I went to the Apollo with a group of friends, and there was this lady that was there, and she was actually talking. She was standing directly behind me, and she was having a conversation with another friend, and she happened to mention that she went to Brooklyn Tabernacle. And so my friend turned around and was like, "The Brooklyn Tabernacle? Oh my goodness, they have an amazing choir." I had never heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle at that time. So I just vowed to go. It was one Wednesday. I went the following Sunday, and I've been going ever since. I remember going into the church. Oh, the choir was amazing. It blew me away. Right there, I can just feel my heart and just God speaking to me, just with their voices. And I knew that something was happening. As I started to attend the Brooklyn Tabernacle, my life started to change. It was a process, day by day, just God doing a work in me. And there was something different. So even at that point in time, there was anger and rage and bitterness still towards my father. And God started to slowly reveal that I had to get rid of this unforgiveness towards my father. And he had led me to contact my father in prison. This is a man that I haven't spoken to or had any type of contact in over 23 years. I sort of started by introducing who I was, but not as his daughter. I kept it pretty impersonal. He wrote back, and he was excited to get my letter. And that's when he started talking about what a wonderful person I am and how kind and sweet I am. And I had to write him back and tell him that it wasn't me. There was nothing that I could do. That was all because of God. And it was God's love, that God loved me so much that he would in turn allow me to love him. And I expressed that to him. Even to get to that moment, I knew that it was God, because it couldn't have been me. I wanted him dead. I did. And so that's how I know God is real. It was over 2 years. And then my letter started to change. And I went from calling him by his name, his first name, Hosea, to calling him by Father, Dad. And I started to love him, and I can say today that I love him, not because of anything that he's bought me or anything that he's given me. It's because of the love that God has shown me. So I wrote him a letter telling him that I forgave him. I forgave him for taking my life away. I forgave him for the murder of my mother. I forgave him that for taking every single thing that I thought that I had. Still haven't yet met my father, and I haven't yet decided on the right time. But I know that God will make a way for me to meet Him. One of the things that I do every single Friday, I come and I meet with the youth, and I just love them. And they tell me things, and I pray for them, and I worship with them, and I play games with them, anything that I could do. I think this is my calling. I love them. And one of the things that I bring to the ministry is just encouragement, encouraging them to do the right thing despite all odds and despite so many obstacles that they may face in their life, that they can do all things through Christ. There's this song by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir that it just ministers to me, and it's called I Never Lost My Praise. Oh, I love that song. And it's God directly speaking to me, because despite everything that I've gone through, I've never lost my praise. I invite you to stand. Sing It's All About You.
Seated, please. Before we close our service, we'd like to take an opportunity to pray, and in particular pray for any special prayer requests the congregation might have. Holly's kidney stone. For Holly, not for the kidney stone.
Pray for me and Tasha. We move this weekend to Cleveland. Tasha start classes. Just pray that the transition goes good. We want jobs.
Okay. I'll invite you to pray with me if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes. Take a moment to put your attention on our Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love. We thank you for how that was brought to our minds this morning in worship and prayer, particularly with the testimonies we've heard and the scriptures that Marcus pointed us towards. Lord, we know our greatest need is to have a more intimate conversation with you. We pray you'd grant us grace this week to look to you, to speak directly to you, to talk to your face, not to talk to your hand. Help us to put our trust in you and our faith in you, even when we don't understand or even when it hurts. Help us to love you more and help us to love the people around us more. Lord, these special requests that we put before you, we ask as we put them in your hands that you would remove anxiety from our hearts, that we would wait patiently and trust you to have an answer. First of all, we pray for Holly and the kidney stone that she suffers from, and pray that you would give her relief and peace. Give her healing. And we thank and praise you for Joe and Tasha's new life in Cleveland and ask that it would get off on the right foot. We pray that it settled down, settled in. We pray especially that you would provide them jobs, you would provide them a place there. Go with them. Now, Lord, as we close our service, we put ourselves in your hands. We ask that your servants could leave in your peace. In Christ's name, amen. Go in peace.